Welcome. Welcome to this week's podcast. This week we'll be looking at one of the most beloved scripture passages, I think, of all time, Psalm 23, sometimes called the Shepherd's Psalm. It's a good time to dive into some comfort food during these very difficult times, and Psalm 23, although it is full of beautiful symbolism and wonderful meaning, certainly falls in the category of comfort food. The Lord is my shepherd is a very comforting thought. So we'll call ourselves to worship with a great old hymn. This is called Deep River, and it's actually an anonymous African-American spiritual. No one knows for sure where it came from. The first time it was ever mentioned in print was in 1876, when it was published in the first edition of The True Story of the Jubilee Singers by J.B.T. Marsh. By 1917, Harry Burleigh completed the first of his several influential arrangements of the song, and the song then became very popular in recitals, and at one point was even referred to as one of the best-known and best-loved spirituals. Deep River has been sung in several movies. 1929 Showboat featured it sung by Laura LaPlante. Paul Robeson famously sang it, accompanied by a full male chorus in the 1940 movie The Proud Valley. And if you want to laugh, you can even watch it in the 1983 National Lampoon's Vacation, as it is sung by Chevy Chase. But this is a much nicer version than that. Here is our music director, Belinda, with Deep River. Let's call ourselves to worship. Today's scripture reading may be the most well-known and most beloved of all scripture passages throughout the Bible. It is Psalm 23, sometimes called the Shepherd's Psalm, and I can't think of a better reading for us to have during these difficult times than Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his own name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Today's hymn is a real treat. It is a recording that I have added to from May the 9th of this year, right in the middle of the pandemic. A group of people gathered together virtually, and they brought us this great hymn. It features the Grace Chorale of Brooklyn, the First Unitarian Congregational Society of Brooklyn, the First Presbyterian Church of Brooklyn, and the music was arranged, orchestrated, produced, and mixed by Adam and Matt Pod. It's an old traditional hymn. It is a hymn that dates back to 1864 by Ann Warner, who did the lyrics, and Reverend Robert Lowry, who did the music. So today's hymn is a real mashup of times and places as we share together, How Can I Keep From Singing? Flows on in endless song above earth's lamentation. I hear the sweet, though far off, hymn that hails a new creation. Through all the tumult and the strife, I hear that music ringing. It finds an echo in my soul. How can I keep from singing?
I know the truth, it liveth.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. These iconic words are the beginning of Psalm 23, and it is a psalm that many of us memorized when we were kids. Now, granted, we probably memorized the King James versions, with lots of words that we barely understood. But no matter what version we have memorized, or whether or not we just love hearing it again, the 23rd Psalm might be the most famous scripture in all of the Bible. It is certainly beautiful, and it's a lovely piece of prose that comes from a beautiful piece of Hebrew poetry. But it's so much more than that. Its structure is quite magnificent, and the way in which it depicts our relationship with God is almost revolutionary. Whether it was written by King David or someone in King David's court, or whether King David simply became the redactor that brought it together in the book of Psalms, it is a story about a shepherd, and it's often attributed directly to King David because, as you may know, King David started off life as a shepherd before he was chosen by God to defeat Goliath and the Philistines, before he was chosen by God to be the king that would unite all of God's people. So, the Lord is my shepherd makes perfect sense as the Psalm of David, as it's called, and it's divided into a number of parts that depict the different parts of our relationship with God. Take the opening, for instance. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. What better way to depict in poetic form that we need to rely on God? If you know anything about sheep, sheep aren't the brightest tools in the tool shed. In fact, most farmers will tell you that sheep aren't very bright at all. But they follow well. They give their life to the shepherd. And for God to be called a shepherd in this great Psalm 23 is quite a revolutionary concept. This is not the God of wrath of the Old Testament. This is not the God of judgment and revenge of the Old Testament. This is the loving God who is a shepherd who only wants to take care of us. And so this opening section, this revolutionary opening to the psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd," depicts God in a way that is not usually depicted in the Old Testament. That this God is some creature, some being, some omnipotent eternal presence that we can rely on, just like sheep rely on a shepherd. And then the next line, in and of itself, "He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Another translation is, "He leads me in right paths." God only has our best interest at heart. We're going to rely on God like sheep rely on a shepherd, but we don't need to be afraid because relying on God as our shepherd will only take us to good places because we are looking for following a God that leads us in right paths. He does so, this great God, for the name of God. God has only my best interest at heart. And then we have that wonderful middle section. "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." It's wonderful. God is with us through times of trouble. We may be going through some very dark places like the valley of the shadow of death. We may be walking in a place where there's enemies all around us. But in each of those cases, God is walking with us. Now, you may be aware of the fact that some people who have studied the 23rd Psalm have tried to put this valley of the shadow of death in a real context. It could be a real place. There is a place called the Valley of Shadows where you take the trip from Jericho to Jerusalem. It's called the Valley of Shadows because it's pretty deep It's called a wadi, W-A-D-I, which is what they call arroyos or deep canyons in the Middle East. It's a wadi, and it's so deep that the sun has trouble, even at noonday, getting all the way to the bottom. So it might be called the Valley of Shadows because there's shadows all day long. It might be called the Valley of Shadows because it leads from Jericho to Jerusalem, and it's kind of an alternate shortcut that most pilgrims don't take. Because in walking from Jericho to Jerusalem, it's an uphill slog all the way. And this valley, as a shortcut, leads you to an area where there's lots of catacombs and caves in its walls, and a great place for thieves and robbers to hide. So it could be called the Valley of Death or the Valley of the Shadows, because robbers wait there for unbeknownst pilgrims to walk through this valley, and they prey upon them. Wherever, it is often thought of that the Valley of the Shadow of Death may also be a very literal kind of metaphor, that we're worried about dying. Even though we walk through the valley that leads us to death, we won't be afraid. Even though we have to face the worst thing we could imagine, which is death, we won't be afraid. And then that second section, when I'm in the presence of my enemies, I'm not left alone, because God prepares a table before me. He sets the stage for me to invite my enemies to come to dinner. He sets the stage so that I might welcome my enemies and they would no longer be my enemies. It is surely an affirmation that God is with us through times of trouble. And then the closing section. All of my life is full of blessings from God. Listen to all these blessings. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord. All of these are affirmations of how much our life is full of blessings from God. You know, the 23rd Psalm is much more than a beautiful piece of poetry. And then you can even go beyond that. Now, I don't spend a lot of time usually talking about literary structure. I'm not really a Hebrew scholar, although I can read some Hebrew. But this structure is so important, it's worth a comment. This structure of Psalm 23 is what's called a chiastic structure. It's a word that simply means like a donut or a ring. The opening of the poem and the closing of the poem affirm the same thought. And in the middle, it's structured in such a way that there's a midpoint, like a hole in the middle of the donut or a hole in the middle of the ring, and everything before it leads down to it, and everything after it leads away from it. Well, if the chiastic structure of Psalm 23 is real, and almost everywhere you read, those who study Psalm 23 will teach you that the chiastic structure of Psalm 23 is real. Look what we can discover. The whole psalm begins with a reference to the holy name of God, Yahweh. And it ends with a reference to the holy name of God, Yahweh. As a matter of fact, that's the only two places in the psalm where the word Yahweh in Hebrew appears. The Lord, Yahweh, is my shepherd. I will dwell in the house of the Lord, Yahweh, forever. It opens with Yahweh. It closes with Yahweh. And in between, it has a very definite midpoint, like a hole in the middle of the donut. If you add all the Hebrew words together and you divide them exactly in half, the phrase that's right in the middle of Psalm 23 is, "For you are with me." Even if you don't read Hebrew, you can get a little bit of the sense of this chiastic structure by understanding that all the strophes, all the passages that come before "you are with me" are all about he or God, referring to God as something else. After "for you are with me," they all are about God being called you, a very personal and intimate relationship with God. The Lord is my shepherd. He makes me lie down. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness. And then that middle section, "For God is with me." And then after that, it's all "your rod and your staff. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil." You see, this chiastic structure helps us understand that everything begins and ends with Yahweh. Everything leads down to the moment in which we realize God is with us, Emmanuel, and it's the very term that we have come to use for Jesus, our Christ, our Messiah. God is the beginning, and God is the end. God is the Alpha, God is the Omega, and right at the core of our faith is this concept that God is with us. Psalm 23 and its structure becomes very important, not because we want to throw around fancy words like chiastic literary structure, but rather because there is teaching even in the structure. And this should come as no big surprise, because we found teaching in other parts of the Bible as well. The Noah flood story is a chiastic structure. It starts with Noah and his family, and it ends with Noah and his family. There are major parts of Daniel that are set up in the chiastic structure, where God is referred to at the beginning of the fiery furnace and God referred to again at the end. The letter to the Ephesians, Paul uses a chiastic structure to help the Ephesians understand that the word love is our Alpha and our Omega. You can go on to other pieces of literature, the Iliad in Greek, the Odyssey in Greek, the Book of Mormon, the Quran in Arabic. All of these follow chiastic structures to help us understand more about what the author is trying to say beyond just the words, but to also understand the structure. To truly understand this, I think it might be good for a moment for us to hear a cantor offer the chiastic structure of Psalm 23. Now, this is in Hebrew, so it's unlikely we'll understand too much of it, but do note the word Adonai at the beginning and Adonai forever at the end. Adonai is the substitute word for Yahweh, since Yahweh is a word that cannot be spoken by Orthodox Jews because of its sacred nature. So the word Adonai is substituted here, and you will hear in this recording of this anonymous cantor in the middle of worship speaking the words of Psalm 23, that he begins with Adonai and he ends with Adonai. Take a listen.
Adonai ro'i lo ehsar, bin ot deshe yarbitzeni, al me menuchot igina haleni, nafshi yeshovev, ינחני ומעגלי צדק למען שמו. גם כי אלך בגי צל מוות, לא אירא רע, כי אתה עמדי. שבתך ומשענתך, המה ינחמוני. תערוך לפני שולחן נגד צורריי, דשנת ושמן ראשי, כוסי רוויה. אך טוב וחסד ירדפוני כל ימי חיי, ושבתי בבית אדוני לאורך ימים.
Beautiful, isn't it? Adonai is the beginning, Adonai is the end of all things, and right in the center, you are with me. God is Emmanuel, God with us. We live in some pretty troubled times. We live in some pretty difficult times. And I think the most important thing we can remind ourselves is the very thing that Psalm 23 teaches us in its words, in its beautiful prose and poetry, and even in its structure, that God is always with us. We're walking through some dark places, but God is walking with us. We are lost sometimes, but God, like a shepherd, leads even the lost. And not only does he lead us through beautiful green pastures and still waters, he also restores us. We are restored by God's presence. And God only has our best interest in heart. Even though it seems like the world is crashing down around us, it is God that walks us through those dark days. And then to understand that we are comforted and led through these times of trouble and reminded that all of our life is full of God's blessings. Yeah, this is a great psalm for the times we find ourselves in these days. Perhaps you are becoming almost depressed by being at home so much. Perhaps you are missing the embrace of another human being. Perhaps you are missing your family, or you're absolutely afraid to go out and see anyone other than your own personal bubble. Whatever your circumstances are, Psalm 23 could really speak to you today. Psalm 23, written by King David or someone in King David's court, certainly lifting up the concept that we rely on God like sheep from a shepherd, that God only has our best interest in heart and will only lead us on paths of righteousness and right paths, that God is with us through all of our times of trouble, and that our life is full of blessings from God, that this God, this Yahweh, is the beginning and the end of all things in our lives, and at the very center of our faith is the acclamation and the assurance that God is with us. Let's pray together. Loving God, shepherding God, God who only has our best interest at heart, the same God who is our Alpha and our Omega, the same God that walks with us even in our hour of death. Almighty God, we pray to you this day that you will remind us that you are leading us even now in these very difficult times, that you are always with us, God with us, Emmanuel, and that you will see us through to the other side, even as we come out of the darkest valleys of our lives. In the name of Christ, we pray all these things. Amen. Our benediction today is a setting of Psalm 23, just the first verse. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie. In pastures green, he leadeth me the quiet waters by. He leadeth me the quiet waters by. My friends, the service has ended. May we go in peace. Amen.